Another time, Israel has been unsuccessful at cobbling together a coalition government after the second election. This time, the Blue and White Party, the opposition party, tried to put something together, coming to the deadline here. And so, CBS News Israel correspondent Robert Berger in Jerusalem, they have the same problems putting something together as Likud did, or different problems?
Well, you know, they basically neither Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu nor the former Israeli General Benny Gantz have been able to cobble together a coalition. They have different alliances, but basically just neither of them can get enough, which is 61 seats in the 120-member Knesset. It's similar problems, I would say, but different because of different alliances, but nobody has enough to get over the threshold.
Yeah, pretty incredible. Of course, a lot were predicting that the Blue and White would have no more luck than Likud. So what happens next? Is there any way to avoid a third election?
A third election really does appear likely now. There's 3 weeks now where either Netanyahu or Gantz can still try to cobble together a coalition, but nobody really thinks that's going to happen. And as we speak, Alan, we actually have some breaking news. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been indicted in those corruption scandals that we've talked about quite a bit. Just now, the Attorney General has decided to indict him on corruption charges, including fraud, bribery, and breach of trust. And so that adds a whole other element to this mix of the problems of forming a government. Certainly weakens Netanyahu, who had already been weakened by these corruption allegations and now faces indictment.
Wow, talk about breaking news, having you on right at the right time. I mean, I believe you had surmise that was quite possible during this time period.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, this has been going on for a long time, these scandals, and the Attorney General actually had recommended that he be indicted, I would say maybe 6 months ago, but then it had to go through a bunch of legal procedures like hearings. But now I think with all this political upheaval, the Attorney General felt that he had a solid enough case and didn't want the question of an indictment or not an indictment to hang over the whole political situation, and decided to go ahead now and indict the Prime Minister. Interestingly, he is not obligated to resign. We should be clear about that. So he probably will remain in office and try and fight these allegations, which he says are false.
But is there any movement in Likud that if this were to happen to him, which it now has, that he might be toppled within the party?
Yeah, I mean, today a rival that I'm sure no one in America has heard of named Gideon Saar said that he wants to go to primaries because Netanyahu's already failed twice to form a government. And so, he is going to face a challenge from within the Likud, but Netanyahu is still very strong in the Likud, his party, and among his base.
Well, true or false, in theory, Blue and White and a couple of the other parties might theoretically be able to cobble together a coalition with Likud, but the obstacle was Netanyahu as prime minister.
Yeah, I mean, that is possible. Maybe, maybe a few people from the Likud might go over to the other side. And then possibly they would have enough to form a coalition. I think a lot of people in Likud, or most people in Likud, Netanyahu's party, are reluctant to do that because, you know, that could spell the end of their political careers if you try to challenge someone as powerful as Netanyahu.
And yet Likud leading the ticket again, you could end up with virtually the same outcome, albeit maybe a few splinter losses for Likud. So maybe it would be better for Likud to make a replacement now.
Well, yes, but, you know, you're talking about power bases and powerful people. Netanyahu has ruled the Likud for 10 years, you know. So he's powerful. It's hard. It's going to be hard to
unseat him. A durable politician. Yeah, I know.
But, you know, what you say is true. I mean, everybody wonders if there is a third election, if you're just going to wind up in the same place where you are now. So.
Meanwhile, one of the minor parties is really the kingmaker here, right? The failure of a rightist party with secular aims is at the heart of this?
Right. A former Netanyahu ally, an associate, Avigdor Lieberman, a right-wing hawk, but basically doesn't like Netanyahu's alliances with the ultra-Orthodox. He says that they're trying to turn Israel into a theocracy. So he hasn't gone along with these right-wing coalitions that he used to be a part of, and that's why Netanyahu hasn't been able to get enough seats for a coalition.
Do you hear people in Israel say that Israel is as deadlocked as America is, or worse or better?
I think they think Israel is worse. I mean, America only has elections once every 4 years, unless somebody is impeached and actually thrown out, which is unlikely. So, yeah, I think people feel that the system over here is not very good, and I think people would prefer the kind of relative political stability that you have over there, with at least having elections only once every 4 years.
Robert Berger in Jerusalem, we're talking to him for listeners just joining us here at 11:42 on Delaware. Let me ask you, when the Trump administration officially changed U.S. policy on Israeli settlements, was that seen as President Trump trying to throw a life raft to Netanyahu and invigorate him and get him ready for a third election, or I'm looking at it too many chess moves ahead?
I think so. I mean, that's the only way, really, that's the way the media interpreted it. And, you know, Trump has done quite a number of favors for Netanyahu over the years. We know that he supports Netanyahu. They're very similar in their style and in their base and so on. So, I think he was trying to help Netanyahu one more time. Just as a reminder, one of the big things he did is moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That was a big thing, recognizing Israeli sovereignty on the Golan Heights, and now basically giving Israel a nod on the settlements. I'm sure it was meant to help Netanyahu.
Does anybody in Israel talk about the prospect of a Democratic victory, and if so, whether there would be a reversal of Mr. Trump's moves in this area, or no, it's a fait accompli, just like Trump denounced Obama establishing full diplomatic relations with Cuba, and although those relations are very cold now, the president has not closed down the U.S. embassy in Havana, for example.
You know, I'm sure it's still a little early. The American election is a year away, and there's so many political problems over here. But certainly there are those who feel that if President Trump is ousted in the next election, that a Democratic administration will be nowhere near as friendly toward Israel.
Yeah, or toward a Netanyahu government at any rate. My final question, Robert, before we go on the Democratic debate last night, Bernie Sanders talked foreign policy. There were more foreign policy issues brought up than any of the previous Democratic presidential debates. And after talking about the U.S. relationship with the Saudis, all the candidates that talked about it excoriated what Trump has done with the Saudis. Sanders added that the relationship with Israel was too close. It recognized Israel, but wanted to uphold the Palestinians as well. And, of course, we have Mayor Bloomberg, another Jewish American who could very well enter the race. Presumably, he's somewhere between Trump and Sanders on Israeli-U.S. issues.
Well, you know, Bernie Sanders is seen as being, really not friendly at all toward Israel.
Not a Zionist or any.
No. I mean, you know, from an Israeli point of view, that would be pretty bad if he wound up getting the nomination. Now, you know, they're much more comfortable over here with someone like Joe Biden, who has a more traditional approach, pro-Israel approach.
Of course. I gotcha. Okay, well, we had a few extra minutes, so I wanted to expand on this stuff because, again, everything in America is right now impeach, Ukraine, and, well, the Democratic presidential debate. But I appreciate the extra time. Thanks, Robert.
You bet.